What is going on, everybody, and welcome to a special Stochastic NHL Strategy Show sponsored by BetMGM. We're starting 15 minutes early because we have a humongous big 15-game slate. I am joined by Slim Cliffy, whose Canadian national team kicks off in 15 minutes. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. A little nervous. This team hasn't been in the World Cup, the men's side anyway, since I was born. The last time they qualified was the same year I was born, so I've never got to watch the men's side play in the World Cup. I mean, has been pretty cool watching the women's side do so well over the last decade or so. Not too upbeat about their chances here. I think we're all kind of realistic about what's going to happen, but hopefully we can get some close games, some good action. But we're here to break down 30 teams in the NHL. We're not here to break down the Canadian World Cup. This is a colossal slate, gigantic, enormous. I don't know. Use the synonym that you want there. This is absolutely absurd. The NHL scheduling, I know we complain about it a little bit. Why you have 15 games on the day before American Thanksgiving when so many people are in cars or airports or airplanes or buses or whatever, and not on the actual day, I'll never know. I mean, maybe, you know, just put a few games on American Thanksgiving, have something to go along with the NFL football games. But here we are, 15-gamer. Let's get to her.
I mean, I get not having games on American Thanksgiving because of the NFL. Like, you can at least showcase some teams. Like, if you're like, oh, you know, the hockey's not popular, put it on a holiday where, like, you're too full from food or you're too drunk to find the remote and hockey's on instead of football, and you're just going to watch it because you're like, I can't get up. My pants don't fit in.
And not only that, like, you know, I know not everybody has multiple TV screens and multiple, you know, laptops and tablets and all that, but I feel like a lot of sports fans do. It's not like, you know, this is 1986 where you just sit there with, you know, the one tube TV and you got 15 people sitting around it. You can put on two different sports. Like, anyways, at least the NHLers get the day off. So good for them. Maybe some of them need it because I see there's a lot of returning players on the slate here tonight. So maybe there's a couple more days off might not hurt them.
Yeah. And tonight, of course, there's a $19 qualifier on DraftKings to their live final. It was completely obvious from the start of the season that they're going to throw their smallest qualifier on the biggest slate. It is a 40 max $19. It's going to be a festival. The 19 always is. If you're in that tonight, good luck. But yeah, we should get into the slate. We came a little bit early to bring up, you know, turkey and soccer, which is classic us. Like, before we get, let's get into the slate. But before we do, make sure to give us a like with all of our shows, DFS offers, giveaways, and much more. Once you subscribe, hit that notification button to get alerts when our show goes. And don't forget, we're available on podcast form. Everything except for Live Before Locked, obviously. So platform of your choice, 5-star review, should be fun. Let's get into this monster slate, and hopefully we don't have to, you know, the last minute, we're not like rushing through the games here. So first game of the night, St. Louis Blues with a 3.5 total. Heading into Buffalo, the Sabres have a 3 total. Bennington, probable. Craig Anderson started yesterday for the Sabres, so it's probably going to be Ukko, Pekka, Luukkonen. Sabres went hog wild against the Canadiens last night. Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch, Jeff Skinner all had massive games. Now, 30 games back-to-back. I don't make a habit of doing it, but like, as we'll talk about with one team later, we are considering them. I just don't know how much Sabres I'm going to get to, like, with this ownership. Like, 15-game slate, 6% coming off a massive game. Like, I feel like it's a bit chasey. And then on the flip side, on Monday, days just blend together. On Monday, on a 10-game slate, the Blues are like 40% owned in some spots. Now they're coming in fairly low owned. Tarasenko's back, but Kyrou is sticking with Thomas Buchnevich. I think I like the Blues.
Yeah, Vladimir Tarasenko is back. That's kind of the big news here. in practice yesterday. He was skating on a line with Brandon Saad and Ryan O'Reilly. So, you know, fond farewell to Josh Levo. We hardly knew ye. You know, that Tarasenko line is kind of interesting to me because, you know, Saad and Ryan O'Reilly have been pretty good off this year together. You know, St. Louis had a little bit of a rocky start, or, you know, after the first few games, they went a little bit of a slide. But that Saad Ryan O'Reilly combo, 2.5 expected goals for, 3.8 actual goals for. And they've had a lot of rotation amongst their wingers. Now they're adding Vlad Tarasenko, who had a great season last year, you know, a little bit banged up this year. I think it was an illness that was keeping him out of the lineup. But he should probably only help them offensively. And, you know, like you said, St. Louis not really coming in with a ton of ownership. Like, we're looking at 4% on the Buchnevich line. We're looking at about 2% on this Tarasenko and Ryan O'Reilly line. Like, that seems pretty fine to me. And like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, at one point he was supposed to be the goaltender of the future. Like, it was one of the reasons why they didn't mind letting Linus Allmark go to Boston, but he's just not done anything this year. 898 save percentage in the AHL last year, 900 save percentage in the AHL year before that, 888 save percentage in the AHL year before that, 874. Like, he's just not progressed that well. He's still young, he's only 23 years old, but he just hasn't looked that good. So, yeah, I don't mind the Tarasenko-O'Reilly-Saad combo, but I think I would go to Kyrou, Buchnevich, and Thomas. You know, Thomas and Buchnevich typically have very good numbers together, almost regardless of who's on the other wing. Jordan Kyrou has certainly come alive over the last handful of games after kind of a tough start to the season for himself as well. Buffalo doesn't have a very good penalty kill, and that Thomas Buchnevich power play unit has actually been good for the Sabres. They might get matched up a decent, you know, with the way the Sabres run their lines, according to our buddy at Line Matching on Twitter. You know, they might get a bit of that Casey Mittelstadt line here in this game, and that's, you know, certainly a matchup that favors them. They're reasonably cheap, not coming in with much ownership, and I think this is a pretty good matchup for a team with a 3.5 total on the road. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think Thomas, Kyrou, and Buchnevich looking good in this game to me.
Yeah, and you know, if you're considering playing them at 40% on a 10 game slate, at 5% or 4% on a 15 game slate, perfectly acceptable. Now, like, they were much cheaper the other night, and they didn't, you know, do great, but they did have 28 DK points, which is more than 2x their salary. So I think they were fine. I think going back to them is perfectly acceptable. Let's go to the blue line. Torrey Krug expected back tonight, I believe, which means that will push Falk back to this, to the second unit. Colton Parayko off the power play. Parayko at 4K, probably still fine. Torrey Krug, if you want to, you know, add more to the power play there. But other than that, like, on the Sabre side, maybe going back to Henry Jokiharju or Owen Power, but that's about it.
Yeah. Should note that there was kind of an iffy issue with Torrey Krug. They said he's going to play tonight, so don't worry about that. Not really a ton I like. Like, obviously Krug for that power play time, I think, is fine. On the Buffalo side, Matias Samuelsson did come back, and it did kind of nuke minutes. Owen Power played under 20 minutes last night, while Henry Jokiharju was up at like 22. Now it was a blowout for most of the game, so maybe they're just kind of resting Power. But, you know, Jokiharju at 2,600, he's probably going to play around 20 minutes. I don't mind that price here. You know, maybe he can get you some block shots.
Yeah.
There, but honestly, this is like any of the defensemen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options tonight, so, you know, these are probably all secondary options for me. Let's move on to the next one. Boston Bruins with a 3.2 total heading into Florida. The Panthers have a 3.3. Allmark probable. Spencer Knight confirmed. Not too much ownership on either side here. Barkov, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe. Excellent line, getting a very, very tough matchup here with the Bergeron, DeBrusque, Marchand line. I don't mind them in MME. I don't think I'll get there in 1-3, even though they're one of the high, they're pretty high up there on the top stacks. I just don't want to go into a Bergeron line on a 15-game slate. For me, I kind of like the Boston side here. The top line's getting under 2% ownership. Florida has been pretty leaky. You know, they're pretty high event. Bob hasn't been great. Spencer Knight has been pretty good. So I don't know. If I had to go to a side on this game, it would be the Bruins for me.
Yeah, I know we don't like to, you know, just kind of look at players versus teams, but I noticed that Alexander Barkov only has 17 points in 25 career games against the Bruins. I don't think that's, like, off the top of my head, I don't think that's quite a 60-point pace, which obviously isn't very good for him. It just speaks to how good Boston is defensively. I don't think that's a big surprise for anybody. One thing that was when I was going through this game that kind of caught me by surprise was Matt Tkachuk. His shots have really fallen off of late. His shot attempt rate has really come down a lot over his last 5-6 games. He only has 14 shots on goal in his last 5 games. This is the Boston Bruins, probably the best defensive team in the league. He's still 8,800 over on DraftKings. That feels really, really high to me. He's still over 10K, like right in David Pasternak's range on FanDuel. Like, I just think that they're being priced as if they're playing just a run-of-the-mill average NHL team, and obviously Boston's not. So, like, I'm probably just out on Florida entirely here. Like, they have, they have been playing well. That top line's been excellent, obviously. But it is a brutal matchup against that Bergeron line. They've been really, really good since Marchand returned. 1.9 expected goals against, 0.8 actual goals against per 60 minutes. They've just been really locking it down defensively. And obviously, like, Boston is arguably the best penalty kill in the league. And Montour and Ekblad, like, that power play unit has actually been fine with the two defensemen there. But it's just a bad matchup for that power play as well. So, yeah, I agree. Like, I think I'm out on Florida here. If I was going to do anything on the Panthers side, it would probably be something around Lundell and Reinhardt. The reason for that is that's, you know, the second line for Boston. Like, David Krejci and Pavel Zacha haven't played that great together this year. Like, their expected goals against numbers are around league average. Average isn't bad, obviously, because the Boston forward lineup. So, if you want to throw in a one-off Sam Reinhardt or one-off Anton Lundell, I think you can do that. But I'm not stacking anything from Florida. And on the Boston side, it's a little bit more interesting because Florida, they're not terrible defensively, but they do give up some shots sometimes. They do take a fair bit of penalties, like above average time shorthanded. Per game this year. We know how good the Boston power play can be. They're, like you said, they're not coming in with much ownership. I'll bring up our top stacks tool here real quick. Boston 1 right there, Marchand, Bergeron, DeBrusse, 10.3%. Top 2 stack, 1.6% ownership. Just not a lot of people taking Boston 1. I don't mind them if you're playing a lot of lineups. I don't know if I would get there in a single entry. I think I would probably treat Boston the same way I treated them the other night and just look for one-offs, like a one-off Pasternak. I think you can even one-off Jake DeBrusque at this point with his power play usage. That's just kind of how I had attacked this game. So I think this is a game where I'd be looking for one-offs and not stacks.
Yeah. And even, like, I think 6.5 is the new 5.5. Like, you see most of these baseline games at 6.5 now. So, you know, it's not like it's 7, 7.5. Let's move to the blue line. I do like Charlie McAvoy at 5,800. His price has kind of been stagnant since he came back. He's on the top power play, not getting much ownership. I like him. Everyone else seems to got a price bump, like Carlo's up to 3,500, Connor Clifton, 3,400 on DraftKings. I know he's really expensive on FanDuel, as well as Radko Gudas, just wildly expensive on FanDuel. So Charlie McAvoy for me on the Panthers side, at that price, probably nothing.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I don't think Ekblad's a terrible play here just because he does put up a lot of peripherals. I think he has 2 shot bonuses in his 5 games since returning. It is Boston, but, you know, Ekblad definitely could put up some blocks as well. His price isn't extreme. Like, he's not one of my targets for expensive defensemen, but I don't think he's not like a Seth Jones play or something like that here tonight. I just think some of the defensemen are just getting a little bit pricey. Like even Hampus Lindholm still over 6K on DraftKings. I think that's just a bit too much. Like, I think Matt Grizzlick is kind of fine where he's under 4K. Carlo's fine at 3,500, but none of them really targets for me in this game. I think it's another game where none of the defensemen are really super high on my priority list.
Agreed there. Let's move on to the next one. Toronto Maple Leafs, 3.0 total heading into New Jersey. The Devils have a 3.4 total. Vitek Vanacek is confirmed. Matt Murray, probable. Leafs still going with Bunting, Matthews, Nylander, Robert, but Kerfoot is off the second line. It's Robertson, Tavares, Marner, which is nicer, I will say. I still wish Nylander and Marner were flip-flopped. Dawson Mercer up on the top line, Nico Hischier and Tomas Tatar. Low-owned Matthews here again. It's just, you know, the Devils are just a wagon. They're just running people over. Still at that ownership, Leafs top line at that price, I think, you know, we'll have to consider them. On the Devils side, I think Dawson Mercer, Fabian Zetterlund, 6-1, half a dozen of the other. Mercer has been playing very well, though. But for me, I'm probably just going to go back to the Hughes-Bratt line.
Yeah, I don't mind either of the New Jersey lines. I was looking at the Toronto numbers with William Nylander on the top line. 2.9 expected goals for in their 55 minutes together. That's pretty bad for an Austin Matthews line. Yeah, it's not bad for most lines in the league, but it's really bad for them. They're actually underwater by the Corsi share numbers, by shot attempts for and against. They're actually getting outshot when they're on the ice together. It hasn't been great for the Leafs. You know, they do have a lot of injuries on the blue line that have started to pile up as well. New Jersey's been flat out one of the best defensive teams in the league this year. Like, I'm seeing a reasonable amount of ownership on Toronto here. Obviously not a lot. Like, they have good leverage, you know, 3-4% for the top line, but it's one of those things where, you know, I have temptation to play an Austin Matthews that's coming in under 5%. At the same time, I would honestly feel a lot better if Mitch Marner was beside him. I just feel like he's a much better playmaker for Matthews. And I think the expected goals and goals numbers over the last few years bear that out. So, Hischier and Tatar have been, you know, just lights out defensively, like better than the Bergeron line by expected goals against numbers so far this year. I think it's just a pretty brutal matchup for Matthews. I'm not going to say no to using him because I don't think there's going to be much ownership here tonight, but we've seen Matthews, you know, skate 16, 17 minutes of late. I think he was up to 22 in the last game, but it's just been all over the place with his ice time. So I think I'm with you. I would go back to New Jersey too. With Nick Robertson on that second line, Toronto's expected goals numbers underwater by expected goals share, 3.2. expected goals against, they're just not good defensively with him there. It's just the way it is. So I think Hughes and Brad can actually get a little bit done here in this game. They're coming in with reasonable ownership to around 2-3%. I mean, most lines will be on a slate this big. So I'm with you. I think it's back to the Hughes and Brad line for me.
Yeah, and let's go to the blue line. It's another concern I have for the Leafs. Morgan Rielly is out. So he was their best puck-moving defender. Now, we talked a little bit about it in Discord, like maybe Sandin can fill that role, but he's going to get like a 40% minutes jump here. Can he do it? Maybe. I just don't know. But he is on the top power play at min price on DraftKings. So I think, you know, he's fine, obviously, at min price. Justin Hull, 2,800. Like, these guys are going to get minute bumps. Giordano, Hull, Sandin, Liljegren. So, I think any of those guys are fine. They're all between min price and 3,600 on DraftKings. It's just a matter of preference. I think, you know, Sandin, min price on the power play obviously sticks out. And then I'd probably go Giordano, then Hull. But, yeah, well, it remains to be seen how they fill Riley's role, at least minutes-wise. On the Devils side, Dougie at 7,200 kind of let me down the other night. But I think, you know, going back to him here is fine. Otherwise, it's going to be the usual suspects of Graves, Marino, and Severson.
Yeah, I will mention Timothy Liljegren played 21 minutes in their last game, whereas Sandin only played like 16 or whatever. So obviously they're leaning on Liljegren a little bit harder. Like, I don't mind him for 2,700. It's not necessarily a great power play spot here for Toronto anyway. I mean, 2,500 for a power play quarterback, like, you can't say that that's a bad play or whatever. I don't mind Liljegren expecting his minutes jump as well. I think the Devils on the Devil side, like, they're starting to get a little bit expensive. Like, Marino up to 3K, I'm not sure about that. I think it would probably be Graves or Severson for me. Graves can give you the peripherals. Severson's still, you know, really cheap. He's not getting a lot of minutes, but he's still cheap.
He scored last game too, but I agree. Let's move on to the next one. We'll find another way for the Flames to let us down. Calgary Flames, 3.2 total heading into Pittsburgh. The Penguins have a 3.4 total. Yari confirmed. Dan, I have been told it's Vladar, has been confirmed. I had a Blake Coleman one off on Monday and I won a lot of money, but like a lot of people were using that top line. A lot of people were using some power play stuff, got let down a lot. This is another very good power play spot. The Penguins penalty kill isn't great. Tristan Jarry, I'm not a believer in at all. Flames top line not getting too much ownership. The Huberdeau, Backlund, Coleman line is surprisingly, I guess not surprisingly, like Coleman's coming off a big game, Huberdeau on the top power play. I don't mind some power play action here for the Flames. On the Penguins side, I think going to the top line here is my preferred option. I think, you know, you can go to the second line as well. I don't really like them taking rust off the power play and putting Petrie on. Not a big fan of these three wingers, two defenseman power play units. It has been working for the Panthers. It can work. Just not a huge fan there. So I think if for me, I'm just going to the top line.
Yeah, I do like Pittsburgh one here tonight, just in general. They're coming in with a very reasonable ownership as well. Only about 3.5% we have them on DraftKings, much lower than their top 2% by our top stacks, about 2% on FanDuel. Because the way Pittsburgh runs their lines, we've talked about it before. Thanks, for our buddy at Line Matching on Twitter. Pittsburgh sends the Crosby line out sometimes against opposing top lines, but much more against second and third lines, particularly the second line. Now, it depends which line you consider the Calgary second line, because their ice times have been real weird basically since Jonathan Huberdeau returned. Like, Michael Backlund is leading the forwards in ice time over the last five or six games or something like that. Nazem Kadri's down to like 16, 17 minutes. Mangiapane's playing like 15. Jonathan Huberdeau's playing like 16. Like, it's just a lot of weird minutes. So who knows what line they consider the second line. I'm assuming it's going to be Kadri, and that Kadri second line's been kind of leaky defensively. 2.8 expected goals against with Kadri, Mangiapane on the ice this year, 3.6 actual goals against, as you know, the Flames goaltending hasn't been very good. This iteration of the Pittsburgh top line has been pretty lights out. 3.4 expected goals with Ricard Raquel on the top line, 5.5 actual goals. Gensel and Crosby haven't been shooting a ton, but Raquel has been. So I think you're fine to just full three-man stack them here. It's not like, I know what you're saying about the power play, but the Penguins power play sucked anyways. And the Calgary penalty kill is pretty good. So it's not as if it was a great power play spot for the Penguins anyway. I just think it's a great 5-on-5 spot. Hopefully they can get a goal on the power play and luck out somehow there. But I do like Pittsburgh 1 in this game. Pittsburgh 2, not as much. But their ownership is almost non-existent, like 1%. It's just the only, you know, like I said, it's not a great power play spot, and they only have one guy on the top power play unit. So I think it's Pittsburgh 1 for me in this game. On the Calgary side, it's tough to know where to go because they're playing all their lines relatively evenly. They're all relatively cheap, and they're all the second and third lines are all carrying some ownership because of how cheap they are and those minutes that they get. I think on the Calgary side, it's a spot where I'd be looking for one-offs, like a one-off Mangiapane. I think, you know, you know, go back to Blake Coleman if you want. He's only 2,500. I think that's just fine as well. That's just kind of what I'm looking for on the Flames side.
Yeah, it's just – I think it changes if or when Huberdeau goes back to the top line, but until then it's just it's a mess. Yep. Let's move to the blue line. Petrie now on the top power play unit does make him more interesting to me. He's 1,600 less than Letang, and he actually shoots the puck. Whether he shoots the puck on the power play remains to be seen, but at 4,700, I will take some stabs there. I guess Letang is fine. I prefer Petrie. On the Flame side, it's probably going to be Rasmus Anderson or Noah Hanifin for me. Weegar under 4K on DraftKings. I think he's okay.
Yeah. There are some decent defensemen here. I think, you know, obviously Petrie getting the PP1 minutes. He's reasonably priced. I think that's just fine. Like Noah Hanifin's still putting up a ton of peripherals. I don't mind his price of 4,900, even though he's not getting those power play minutes. If you need someone super cheap, I think Chris Tanev on DK is fine. He can definitely get you the block bonus. So that's about where I am.
Yeah, I forgot to mention Tanev. Good call there. I like him as well. As we mentioned on the top, we are sponsored by BetMGM, and we have a no-brainer offer for you. Bet $10 and win $200 in free bets if any team scores a goal. That's just for marketing. It could end 0-0. You'll still get it during the World Cup. Click the link in the description or the pinned comment to sign up. Bet must be on a pregame money line. Literally, all you got to do is create a BetMGM account, bet $10, and you win 200 in free bets. Now, this is available in all states except New York, Pennsylvania, Mississippi, and Ontario. Now, also, legal sports betting launched today in Maryland. So if you're from Maryland, this offer is definitely for you because I know you don't have a BetMGM account. If you know someone in Maryland, tell your homies, text them, send a raven. I don't know how you communicate with your friends, but let them know this is a great deal and get your $200 in free bets for the World Cup. Let's move on to the next one. Arizona Coyote night. Not really. 2.2 total for the Yotes here. Probably the lowest on the slate. Yeah, lower than the Blackhawks. They're going into Carolina. The Hurricanes have a 3.8 total. Karel Vejmelka confirmed. Probably no confirmation. Could be Antti Raanta. Raanta could be Pyotr Kochetkov, who they're calling Coochie for whatever reason. I don't think their PR guy really understands the meaning behind that. Anyway, Carolina night is here. One of the only lines in double digits or a double-digit ownership player. Sebastian Aho getting double digits in projected ownership. Stefan Nason back on power play one here. Seth Jarvis back to power play two. So I think that puts Carolina one back into play as a full line stack. They will be more, you know, one of the more chalky lines on a 15-game slate, but nothing egregious, so I think it's fine. You want a one-off Svechnikov, add him in, do what you want to do. That's fine. For me, on the Yotes side, like, yeah, if you want to play Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz, like, this isn't the slate to try it. Like, if you're down to your 150th lineup and they happen to organically get in there, then so be it. But I'm out on the Coyotes. What are you seeing?
Yeah. Well, also mentioned Matias Maselli out for the Coyotes. That's going to break up their second line. So, you know, who knows what that line is going to look like. So, yeah, I'm with you out on the Coyotes. Okay. So Carolina didn't run lines this morning at morning skate. And in their last game, they blew up their lines in the third period, and they went to a top line of Aho, Natchez, and Jarvis. And that line scored 3 goals in the last 5 minutes of the game. So is Stefan Nason going to be back on the top line? Like, I don't know. We do see coaches all the time, you know, blow up their lines and then go back to what they were for the next game. That happens a lot. But if a line scores 3 goals in 5 minutes to tie the game and get you to overtime, how are you going to break them up going into the next game? Like, that's kind of the problem that I have with Carolina right now. We don't know exactly what their lines are going to be. And not only that, Jesperi Kotkaniemi got pushed down to the fourth line, I think. Jack Drury was centering Andrei Svechnikov in the third period against Winnipeg. We don't know what these Carolina lines are going to be, and it kind of worries me. especially where like the pricing is kind of weird. Like, I think you can do like Aho, Svechnikov, and then a defenseman. And then if Natchez is with Aho again, you can just swap down to Natchez. They're pretty close in price. You know, or you can do Aho, Nason, and Burns or whatever. And if Nason's not on the top line, if Seth Jarvis is there, then you can swap down to Seth Jarvis. He's a little bit cheaper on DraftKings. So there are way to construct your lineups that it's not a huge scramble when warmups hit. And if lines are different, it's just, it's tough to say what I'm going to play here when we don't know who's playing with whom. I'll just say, like, if Jarvis, Aho, and Natchez is a line, that's a line I would be very, very interested in. Jarvis seems to have had his best time playing with Sebastian Aho last year. A little bit of a rougher patch so far this year. You would probably get 2 out of 3, if not 3 out of 3, on the top power play. They do like Nason there, so maybe it won't be. But it's just tough to say what I like until we see lines. But, like, no problem playing Carolina tonight here, obviously.
Yeah, I guess if you want to power play stack, I think that's fine as well. I mean, I think it was the other morning you just like woke up and chose Vions. You're like, I'm just gonna play the Coyotes goaltender every night. I'm just gonna do it. Like this is another good spot.
Like I was looking at his game log so far this year. He only has three out of his 11 starts. Karel Vemelka. 3 out of his 11 starts have been under 11 DK points. Now, those starts with under 11 have been blow-ups. I think there's even one game he finished in the negative because there are games where the Coyotes just get their brains beat in. It's just the way it happens. But he has more games with over 22 DK points this year than he does with under 11. I don't know. Carolina likes to shoot a lot, man. I do like Vemelka in net here tonight.
Yeah, come for the... expected goals, stay for the shutout, as we always say. Yeah, Vemelka in play. Yeah, like Carolina, it's an early start, so we'll see lines and warmups, hopefully. But yeah, I think, you know, power play stacking is a safe way. And then if, you know, you can adjust to the lines there. Let's move to the blue line. Brent Burns, I think, is fine at 6,900. Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce as well on the Coyotes side. It's just not much that I really want to play. Like, I don't know. Probably nothing.
Yeah, nothing for me for Arizona. Like, I think Chychrun's fine at his price. It's not excessive, and he can put up good peripherals. I think Jacob Slavin's the guy I like most in this game. Yeah. Now that he's down in the threes, 3,700 on DK, and he's not like 44, 4,500, whatever. I like Slavin here.
Yep. Let's move on to the next one. Feels like these teams play every night. The Montreal Canadiens with a 3.2 total heading into Columbus. The Blue Jackets have a 3.4. Montreal back-to-back on the road. So probably Samuel Montembeau after Jake Allen gave up 7 for the first time in his career. Junis Kaprizalo confirmed for the Blue Jackets. Now we don't see overwhelmingly chalk on the Blue Jackets. Their top line is getting ownership, though. This is a very good spot for Jenner and Gaudreau. I'm not a huge fan of Nyquist up there. I wish it was Ken Johnson. I wish it was Emil Bemström even. I think you can go to that first line. I think you can possibly – like the second and third lines are super cheap and you can use them as fillers. I honestly don't know what to do with the Canadiens because they do have a large road total and the Blue Jackets are just awful defensively. So what are you doing in this game?
Yeah, I – don't mind Montreal one here, Caulfield, Suzuki, and Doc. Obviously, they play 5-on-5 together. They play on the power play together. Here's the thing is Montreal doesn't draw a lot of power plays, only about 3 per game. That's well below league average. And Columbus doesn't take a lot of penalties either. Only 2.8
like times. 45 last night and didn't convert on any of them.
Columbus only 2.8 times shorthanded per game this year. And without Mike Hoffman, Montreal's power play has been a top power play unit has been a lot worse generally this season. So like, I'm not sure how much the Canadiens can even do on the power play, even as banged up as Columbus is here, but there's no ownership coming in on Montreal. We're talking like maybe 1 or 2% here. And I think they're perfectly fine, basically in any format. Like I know Montreal is not a great team, but Columbus isn't either, and they have a lot of injuries on that blue line. So I do like Montreal won here, especially where Jenner and Nyquist historically have not been very, very good defensively together, like north of 3 expected goals against, close to 5 actual goals against in their minutes together over the last couple seasons. You know, Gaudreau might help offensively a little bit. I don't know if he helps defensively. So I do like Montreal won here. As for the rest, I think it's just picking one-offs. I don't know if there's another line I would stack in this game. You know, one-off Josh Anderson, I think, is fine. I think one-off, you know, Sean Monahan is fine on that power play. One-off Kent Johnson is fine. But it's either, I think for me, it's either stack Montreal one or just pick one-offs.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I don't know much about Marcus Bjork, so I don't want to just throw him completely under the bus. He kind of feels just like Chris Weidman to me on the power play. He's better, but like for 4,400, I want a little bit better of a discount. So like, I agree. Like, I just don't like these 5-on-5 lines for the Blue Jackets. Now maybe they mix them up before the game and, you know, Ken Johnson's up on the top line or Bemstrom's there, but yeah, I kind of agree. One-offs, two-mans. I think Jenner Gaudreau is a nice two-man. I think that's fine. Let's move to the blue line. Mike Matheson did run that top power play unit last night. I think he's still fine at 4,200. That's about it on that side. Again, like Marcus Bjork, like I guess, is fine because, you know, Montreal's penalty kill isn't great. But for me, like, I'll probably go to, like, Gavrikov at 4,100. Even Erica Branson at 3,100 is still fine because he plays a ton of minutes. Andrew Peak, 3,900. Gavin Bayerruth are still min price. So, you know, if you need to go looking for some cheap guys, this might be a game on the Columbus side anyway.
Yeah, I do like Matheson at 4,200. He's probably the only Montreal guy that I would really target. On the Columbus side, it's probably Gavrikov because of all the minutes that he's playing. It's him and Goodbranson leading the way since the injury is like 24, 25 minutes a game. So for me, it's probably either Gavrikov. If you have a little bit more salary, and if you don't, you need to pay down, then it's Goodbranson.
So let's move on to the next one. The Winnipeg Jets, with a 2.7 total heading into Minnesota. The Wild have a 3.2 total. Connor Hellebuck, Philip Gustafsson confirmed. Like Jets running back status quo here. I think there was an injury, or Adam Lowry didn't skate this morning, but he's expected to play. On the Wild side, still Sam Steele between Kaprizov and Zuccarello, Greenway with Gaudreau and Boldy, Duhame or Duhamin, whatever it is, Joel Eriksson Ek, Foligno on that third line. They'll probably see a fair bit of that Shifley line. I just don't know what to do with this game. Like, Nikolai, like, we saw news on Ehlers. He's going to be out for another, like, 6 to 8 weeks. Sam Gagner still up on the top line. Like, I just don't know what to do on either side of this game. I don't know if I'm full stacking anything.
Yeah, here I was looking at Minnesota's top line's numbers without Ryan Hartman because they played a lot with him last year. Hartman's been hurt quite for most of the season this year. Zuccarello and Kaprizov have played over 400 minutes without Ryan Hartman as their center. And those 400 plus minutes of 5-on-5, 2.2 expected goals for per 60 minutes, 2.4 actual goals for it. Unless Hartman's there, they don't have another center that they can use to really drive play offensively. They could be great defensively and it can help them win games. But there's just not a lot of offense here. Connor Hellebuck starting. We talked about how the Winnipeg penalty kill has certainly been improving. You know, they're allowing the third fewest goals against on the penalty kill of any team in the league so far this year, sixth fewest shots. Like, Minnesota's lived on the power play for their fantasy production this year. And this is not a very good power play spot for them, where the Jets have been so good on the PK, and the Jets are one of the least penalized teams in hockey, only 2.5 times shorthand in this game. So I'm out on Winnipeg. Or on Minnesota, sorry. On the Winnipeg side, I don't know, man. Like, I think I would go to Pierre-Luc Dubois and Blake Wheeler. Blake Wheeler got moved to the top power play unit in the last game over Sam Gagner. Who knows if that actually lasts, but I think Wheeler's cheap enough where you can kind of take that chance. That line's been fine, 2.8 expected goals for and against per 60 minutes. You know, the Minnesota Wild have been a lot better defensively over the last month. So there's just not a lot that I like in this game. If anything, it would be Pierre-Luc Dubois and Blake Wheeler's a two-man. But other than that, I don't think I'm stacking anything.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the Wild don't have a center to fill that role on the top line. I think Joel Eriksson Ek would fill that role. I just don't think they want to use him in that role because he is an elite shutdown center.
Yeah, there's just no one else in the rest of the line.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, Sam Steele, top line center, when he couldn't even make the fourth line on the Ducks last year, which was one of the worst teams in hockey. So, like, what are we doing here? I don't know. Blue line, Josh Morrissey. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You don't play him, he burns you. You play him, he burns you. You just get burned by Josh Morrissey. So I think he's fine at 5,200, though. Brendan Dillon as a punt. Nate Schmidt as a punt. On the blue side, Alex Goligoski, who's a right winger on DraftKings. Top power put unit, min price. Could be an interesting game theory play. Spurgeon, Brodin, Dumba as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with Rasmus Sandin. It's like, I'll never say no to a 2,500 top power play QB. The fact that he's listed at the West Wing on DraftKings is pretty funny. Like I said, it's not a good power play spot for him, but at his price, perfectly acceptable to use. Other than him, the only guy that's really kind of catching my eye is Jonas Brodin. 23 minutes, 24 minutes a game, and he can get you the block bonus on DK, and his price has come down a lot over the last 10 days, so don't mind Brodin either.
Yep. Let's move on to the next one that, you know, isn't flexed till 7:30, but it's at 7. You know, finally the Wings have a good team, and they go back to 7. I don't want to go off on a tangent. Nashville Predators, 3.2 total. Going into Detroit, the Red Wings have a 3.3. Kevin Lankinen confirmed for the Predators. Ville Husso probable for the Wings. This was a game where I was kind of going to be like, don't really love too much here. Lankinen changes things a bit for me. I know Saros hasn't been great, but he has been better than Lankinen. The Wings top line fully correlated on the power play, Kubalik, Larkin, Perron. They're not getting excessive ownership. I like them tonight. That second line I'll let you talk about, like, Kopp and Raymond have been shooting the lights out. On the Predator side, I just don't think I'm full stacking anything. If anything, I'm probably just going to go back to Yossi. I did see them. The one thing I will say about the Preds, though, at the beginning of last game, they went back to their old power play units of Forsberg, Granlund, Duchesne, Raijo, and Yossi. So they took Juuso Parsinen off the top power play and put Duchesne on. And so, you know, if you want to do some power play stuff there, I think Duchesne at 4,300 is a decent one-off. But for me, on the Preds, I'm probably just going to play Yossi. I'm more interested in the wing side.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Detroit's second line because Germ in chat was asking about Tyler Bertuzzi and Detroit 2 here. What I brought up in our Discord was in 9 games so far, in the last 9 games, sorry, Andrew Kopp and Lucas Raymond have combined for 36 shot attempts. That is 4 shot attempts between them per game, or 2 each. 2 shot attempts each per game over the last 9 games. That's absolutely nothing. Like, defensemen do, there are a lot of defensemen that do way better than that. Like, Kopp and Raymond just haven't played well together this year. 2.2 expected goals for, 3.5 against in their minutes together, 1.9 actual goals for, 4.3 against. They're getting trounced. I like Tyler Bertuzzi. His price has come down a lot, but I think it actually reflects his situation. That line sucks. I'm sorry. Now, they are really, really cheap. That's kind of the upside here. You stack the 3 of them on DK, it's 10,300, and they're all perfectly correlated on the power play. So, like, I'm not going to say don't play them because they are so cheap. Like, these guys are being priced like a fourth line from Seattle. They just haven't played well at all. Like, they can get there, especially with, you know, Nashville does take some penalties. Their penalty kill isn't that great. They are all in the power play together. I would probably rather just go to the Detroit top line. That they have actually been good on the power play together with Kubalik, Larkin, Perron on the power play, 9.6 expected goals per 60 minutes, 10.2 actual goals per 60 minutes on the power play so far this season. Nashville is allowing the 3rd most shots against on the penalty kill as well. I would probably just go to Detroit 1 here. I'm not going to say don't play Detroit 2, Especially if you just want to like two-man Raymond and Bertuzzi or something like that. Like, I think that's fine. It's just not a good line that hasn't been playing well. On the Nashville side, it would probably be just going back to the top line with Forsberg, Parson, and Granlund. There's not a matchup I'm really concerned about on the Detroit side at all. I don't care what line they throw at them. They've been fine. 3.0 expected goals per 60 minutes so far in their time together. 3.4 actual goals. You get at least two guys on the top power play unit. So it's probably the Parson and Granlund line that I like on Nashville. It's and the Larkin line. So it's both top lines in the scheme for me. Pick one or the other. It's Detroit one. They're not coming in with much ownership either. So I think I'll just, you know, gun to my head, I'll take Detroit one as my favorite stack in the scheme.
Yep. I meant to say shooting the lights off, like turning the lights off, not shooting the lights out. Sorry.
Yeah, they haven't shot enough to shoot the lights out.
Yeah, you know, the power went off. Let's move to the blue line. Roman Josi, I still really like at 8,200. He's, you know, doing his thing. Moritz Seider, also fine, 5,300. Phil Pronick, your boy Jake Walman, Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah, I think Seider on FanDuel is pretty fine. His price is all right. Ole Mata has been playing more lately than Ben Sherrod has, and Ole Mata is only 3,400 on DK, where Ben Sherrod's 3,900. So I don't really mind Mata. Alexander Carrier has actually been playing more minutes as well, 18-19 of late. So if you need someone that's near mid price, I don't mind Carrier either.
Good call there. It's our biggest Thanksgiving Black Friday Cyber Monday deal ever. This is our way of saying thank you to you, the best DFS community in the world. We appreciate all of your support to our shows, podcasts, and articles. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. That's you. Yes, you. So what we're going to do is we're going to give a week of Stochastic Platinum for just $5. That's 90% off the weekly price. The weekly price is normally, they're excited about Stochastic Platinum for $5. That's 90% off the weekly price of $39.95. My son's getting a delivery. Use promo code THANKS or click the link in the description to take advantage of this killer deal. This deal won't be around for very long, so take advantage now. Deal runs from November 21st to the 28th. Get you everything. Everything. So for $5. And it's a thank you very much.
I keep clicking the wrong buttons. My mistake.
We self-produce. And Cliffy's on the sticks because I have no idea what I'm doing. So $5. Thank you. Let's move on to the next one. Edmonton Oilers 2.9 total heading into the island. Sucks. New York Islanders have a 3.1 total. Probably Stewie Skinner, Ilya Sorokin. Throw a question on who is going to start. It appears it's going to be Sorokin. A little bit of confusion there. I just don't like this game. Like, I don't know if I'm full stacking anything. I think, you know, McDavid Hyman is fine. I think one-offing Nelson's fine. I think one-offing Barzell's fine. I just don't know if I'm going to full stack anything. What are you saying?
Yeah, I don't mind the Islanders second line here, Lee Nelson, Beauvillier. They do allow a lot defensively, but they are generating 3 expected goals per 60 minutes so far this year, scoring 4.2 actual goals. Nelson's skating like 19 minutes a game. You know, Beauvillier's price is pretty cheap. The top power play unit has been generating a lot of late, and like 130 shot attempts per 60 minutes, which is just obscene, you know, on a power play. They're only shooting 11%, so it's kept the actual goals down a little bit, but Nelson and Lee both on the top power play. Edmonton takes a lot of penalties, 4.1 times shorthanded per game this season. So Nelson and Lee could get a lot of opportunities to get there on the power play. And the Edmonton power play is very bad. So it's probably the Islanders second line that I like most in this game. But I don't mind the Islanders top line either. Barzal, Wahlstrom, and Bailey. It's just they're coming in with a lot of ownership, 3-4%, which, you know, that's not a lot for considering all the games that we have. But it is pretty high for a line that doesn't have tremendous upside. You know, Wahlstrom plays like 11 minutes, Josh Bailey gets thrown all around the lineup. Matt Barzal doesn't really shoot a lot. So you're really, you know, do they get there when there are 30 teams playing? I don't know. I think it's the Islanders' second line I like for me. On the Edmonton side, if anything, it's a two-man of McDavid and Hyman. Hyman has been shooting a lot more when he's been playing with McDavid than with Draisaitl so far this year. Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins, just not a good two-man so far this season, which is another reason why I like the Islanders' second line. 3.7 expected goals against, 4.3 actual goals. So yeah, Nelson and Anders Lee and Anthony Beauvillier is the line I like the most in here. I don't mind McDavid and Hyman either.
Yeah, like the Oilers have been getting these road totals under three, which are confusing to me, and they're not getting a lot of ownership. It is Sorokin. Islanders don't take many penalties. I don't know. Just, I guess I agree that Islanders, if I was going to do anything from this game, it'd be the Islanders second line. I just not super enthusiastic about much from this game. As always, like McDavid, a low ownership gives me the heebie-jeebies, but this is not the best matchup, although he is matchup proof. Let's move to the blue line here. Noah Dobson, 6,700. I guess he's fine. Not a huge fan. Like, I'd rather play Ryan Pulock at 3,700, I think. Scott Mayfield or Adam Pellick. On the Edmonton side, Cody Ceci maybe.
Ooh, King Bacon Pie likes Cody Ceci tonight, I hear. Yeah, I kind of do like Dobson tonight. This, you know, with Edmonton's awful penalty kill, this does seem like a decent game for him and the top power play unit. If I was going to play anybody that's not Dobson, it's probably Pellick. Though, you know, the Islanders really do like to spread around the ice time. The guy that's kind of sticking out to me is Evan Bouchard. Playing him at 5,100 on DK felt real bad. Now that he's down to 3,700 and there are games where he's getting like 20 to 22 minutes, I don't mind Bouchard as one of those mid threes guys here tonight on this slate.
Yeah, that's a good call. I somehow missed him. I swear I have two eyeballs. Let's move on to the next one. The Philadelphia Flyers with a 2.3 total. Heading into Washington, the Capitals have a 3.3. Hart and Kemper are probable. TJ Oshie back for the Caps. That helps their power play, helps their second line. Flyers, pretty messy. Konechny's still out. I don't think this is the best spot, but the Capitals just haven't been great defensively on the penalty kill. I guess you could take one-offs, like a tip, one-off Tippett, one-off Noah Cates. Like, I don't want to make a living stacking a 2.3 total road team on a 15-game slate. For me, it's the Washington side. Like, again, like, I just don't know. Like, that top line with Sheary has been good. I don't know if I'd full stack them. I think I'd leave off Sheary and, like, add in an Oshie to get some power play. But, like, again, like, the Capitals, Ovechkin 7%, Strom 6%. Just not super excited about playing a chalky Capitals team.
Yeah, the only thing I'll mention on the Philly side is maybe a couple one-offs like Owen Tippett or Noah Cates. You know, Cates probably gets some power play one time here. He's under 3K. The Washington penalty kill's been a little bit better, but still, you know, at best league average, which isn't, you know, anything to speak about. Owen Tippett, he's been the guy that's been shooting a lot for this team basically all season long, so I don't mind him, but I'm not stacking anything from the Flyers side. On the Washington side, Oshie's back, and he's on the top power play unit, but when I looked at the units and I saw Ovechkin on the top unit, but Kuznetsov on the second unit, that kind of raised an eyebrow to me. Ovechkin plays both halves of the power play. He's been doing it for years. He's been doing it this season, so when you see Trevor Van Riemsdyk on the second power play unit, just assume that that's Alex Ovechkin in a spot. So, you know, Ovechkin technically has correlation on the power play with each of his line mates, both Dylan Strome and Connor Sheary. I think this is a game where you're fine to power play stack because, yeah, you're right. Oshie has bumped up the Washington power play by about a goal per 60 minutes in his time over the last few years. I think that's one way you can kind of get a little bit different here is, you know, do like Ovechkin and Oshie with Kuznetsov or Ovechkin and Oshie with Strome or something like that. The only problem with Oshie is his shot rate has really cratered over the last couple seasons, like 1.7 shots per game. So you're really relying on him scoring here. rather than peripherals. That's just the only thing that bothers me. But Ovechkin's been playing a ton lately, like 22 minutes a game of late. So I honestly, I don't mind Strom Ovechkin two-man here, even if they are 6-7%. Flyers are just bad. So yeah, I do like the Washington top line in this game.
Yeah, and Carter Hart come down to earth a little bit here as well. So let's move to the blue line. Travis Sanheim would be the guy for me on the Flyer side. Carlson on the Cap side, you want to punt for some shot blocks. Martin Fairberry, but not a great game for defensemen.
Yeah, I don't mind John Carlson. He's, you know, he's expensive, but he's also playing 25-plus minutes since he returned. Running that top power play, like, I think he's probably fine as one of those super expensive defensemen here tonight, but there aren't a lot of guys I'm really chasing from this game.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. Chicago Blackhawks with a 2.3 total heading into Dallas. The Stars have a 3.7. Peter Mrazek, probable. Jake Ottinger is confirmed. I think in our top stacks tool, Dallas 1 is the chalkiest line of the night. They're coming in right at 10%. For good reason. This is an excellent spot. I'm out on the Blackhawks. I think I like, obviously, I like Dallas 1. What are you seeing?
I'm not seeing any Chicago players in my lineup, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Remember when Chicago started the season with good defensive numbers and people were like, are they going to do it this year?
Nope.
No, they're not. Chicago's top line, 3.6 expected goals against per 60 minutes. So far this season, they're at about a 40% expected goal share. They're as bad as we expected them to be. Like, there's a very good reason why this Dallas top line is coming in as, you know, one of, if not the chalkiest lines on the night. They're very reasonably priced. They're still absolutely destroying the competition. You know, Chicago is above average by time shorthanded this year, but Dallas doesn't draw a lot of power plays, but it doesn't matter. They're just so efficient on the power play itself. So yeah, I really do like Dallas 1 here. Should note Denis Gurianov back in the lineup. They didn't have line rushes today, but I assume he goes back on the second line with Sagan and Marchment, and then Jamie Benn goes back to his usual third line matchup. So I think you're fine, like, one-offing Jamie Benn or one-offing, you know, Mason Marchment or something like that, especially where Marchman's been shooting a little bit more lately. But this is all about Dallas 1. They're going to match up against that Kane and Domi line. And like I said, just been getting filled in with expected goals against so far this year. The only thing that's saving them is their goaltending, which is really hard to believe, but it's true. Yeah, I do like the Dallas top line a lot in this game.
Yeah, and Jason Robertson, one of the best players in the NHL. It doesn't get the recognition. He should be in the conversation for the Hart right now. The Hart? Yeah, the Hart.
Yeah, that's the one.
But yeah, that's a conversation for another time. Let's move to the blue line. Miro Heiskanen, if you want to add in on the power play or one-off, is okay. His price has crept up, and he's reliant. He's kind of like Adam Fox, and he for DFS, he's reliant on hitting the score sheet. Otherwise, Esa Lindell been playing a ton of minutes at 3K. Connor Murphy, Jake, 5K, Jake McCabe, too expensive there, but 3,800 Connor Murphy for me on the Blackhawks side.
Yeah, maybe Connor Murphy. I mean, Seth Jones is back in the lineup. I think he's playable on FanDuel, where he's in like in the low fives, if I believe, but 7,100 on DK is a real hard pass on Seth Jones. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's Esa Lindell, maybe even Nils Lundqvist, even though he doesn't play a lot of minutes. But, you know, Chicago does take their fair share of penalties. Not a great penalty kill. He's on power play too. So don't mind Lundqvist.
Yeah, and I misspoke that I said the Dallas top line is the highest owned. This top line is the highest owned. Vancouver Canucks with a 2.8 total heading into Colorado. The Avs have a 3.7. Spencer Martin, Pavel Francouz. That's not how you pronounce it either. I just wanted to say it. Colorado 1 coming in as the highest owned on the night. I think it's an excellent spot. Nils Höglander up on the top line with Horvat Miller. I have a hard time believing he will end the game there. I feel like Brock Besser will make his way up there before the game ends. Colorado 1 for me. I just don't trust the Vancouver Canucks at this point. Like, the one thing I will say, the Avalanche penalty kill has been a bit wonky. So if you want to get in some Canucks power play guys, I think that's fine.
Yeah. It's just they are getting expensive, or they are really – I mean, Bo Horvat's just been expensive for a while. It's 7,600 on DK. Like, Colorado's top line hasn't been great defensively. I think a lot of it might be they just play so many minutes. Maybe they get worn down a bit through the game because these guys are playing like 23 minutes every single night. But 2.8 expected goals against so far this year. It's just 1.1 actual goals against, as the goaltending has been great behind them. I have no problem going right back to Colorado 1 here. What I will mention is the Vancouver top line. Just Miller and Horvat have improved as the seasons wore on. In fact, they're down to 2.3 expected goals against per 60. Only 3 goals against per 60 as well, which is high, but it's not like absolutely brutal or anything like that. So like the Vancouver top line has been better defensively. The penalty kill has been much improved. Like, I think it's over like their last 17 days or something like that. Their goal rate on the penalty kill has been half of what it was over the first, you know, 3-4 weeks of the season. So the penalty kill is improving in that regard. You know, neither really take a lot of penalties. I have no problem playing Colorado 1 here. They just play so many minutes and they're such a good line offensively. It's just they really do have to get there on the power play. And I wonder if maybe Vancouver's penalty kill is coming in a little bit underrated for the way that it's been playing over the last few weeks. Vancouver 2 is interesting to me here. Mikheyev, Pettersson, Kuzmenko, they're still playing really, really well. 3.3 expected goals per 60. The only problem is it's only Pettersson on power play 1 as Kuzmenko got the boot. Maybe they see a little bit of that Colorado second line, Rodriguez and Newhook, with Frederik Olofsson's going to be there now. And they haven't been all that great so far this year. But Confer, Logan O'Connor, and Andrew Cogliano have actually been playing more minutes than everybody but Rodriguez, because Rodriguez is on the power play. So that's a little bit of a tougher matchup for Vancouver too. So I think yeah, a one-off Brock Besser I think makes a ton of sense in this game. I think one-off JT Miller actually makes sense as well with how bad the Colorado penalty kill has been. I think it's just one-offs for me from the Canucks, and obviously Colorado 1, no problem playing that.
Yeah, the Vancouver Canucks penalty kill might be a bit underrated, but their goaltending is just bad. They've just been flat out bad. So yeah, Colorado 1 firmly in play. It's just a matter of your price tolerance. On the blue line, Cale Makar is the guy. I guess Sam Girard could be back. I don't know if they announced that he is, but if he is, he is 2,900 on DraftKings. On the Canucks side, maybe Ethan Bear, maybe Luke Shen.
I mean, Tyler Myers for me on DK, now that he's all the way down to 2,700, like, I don't want to play 4,100 Tyler Myers, but 2,700, I think he can absolutely get the block bonus there. And that's not even that bad for how cheap he is. So don't mind Tyler Myers on DK. Yeah, Girard's back. He wasn't really doing that great before he got injured. Like, the peripherals weren't there at all for him. He's fine because of his price, but honestly, I think, it sounds stupid to say, but I really like Cale Makar on the blue line here tonight.
Yep. Don't forget to click the link below and sign up for BetMGM. Deposit $10, win $200. It is that simple. And if you're just tuning in and you're from Maryland, congrats on legal sports betting in Maryland. So click the link, get yourself a BetMGM account, get $200 in free bets. What you waiting for? Ottawa Senators, 2.7 total. Heading into Vegas, the Golden Knights have a 3.9 total. Anton Forsberg, Logan Thompson, probable. Vegas top line just keeps churning along. They're not getting too much ownership here. It's the biggest total on the board. Vegas won for me. You want to get to some stuff in MME on the Sens, have at it. This is a Vegas game for me.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be getting to the Sens here. It's just kind of a price thing. If the top line was like 17K even or 16.5, you know, obviously that's one thing. At like nearly 19K on this slate here tonight going into Vegas feels pretty expensive. Like, they're more expensive than the Buffalo top line. They're right there with, you know, the Dallas and Pittsburgh top lines. You know, Vegas doesn't take any penalties, 2.4 times shorthanded so far this season. So Ottawa would have to do it all at 5-on-5 against a Jack Eichel line that's been one of the best lines in hockey so far this season. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm out on Ottawa here. I do like both of the Vegas lines, actually. I think they're both very playable in this game. Neither coming in with a ton of ownership. I'll kind of defer to Vegas one here because they do see some minutes against opposing second lines. And Shane Pinto there with Claude Giroux is probably going to make that line a little bit like pretty high event. So, yeah, right back to Vegas one. They're not coming in with a lot of ownership, as you mentioned. Our top stacks tool has them at about 5 to 6%. Not a bad power play spot either. Ottawa takes is shorthanded 3.9 times per game. That's a lot. I think this is a spot where I really do like the Vegas top line. So Eichel, Stone, Stevenson for me. I think you can leave off Stevenson and put in Marchessault if you want somebody that shoots a lot more. Stevenson's not shooting at all, but it's the Vegas top line that I think that I really like here, you know, considering price and matchup and all that.
Yep, and let's move to the blue line. Tomas Chabot is back, I guess, as a one-off at 5,500. It's not bad if you're in that range, but for me, Artem Zub up on that top pair with Chabot. He's still min-priced on DraftKings, so Zub for me. Petrangelo coming off a big game. He is the power play quarterback. 7,400. I think he's fine to add in. Otherwise, maybe Braden McNabb. I will say Alec Martinez just continues to block shots.
Yeah, I mean, I like Zub a lot. You know, that guy has over 200 blocks in 137 career games. Played 22 minutes in his last game, 21 minutes on the game before. I think he's the $2,500 guy here on the slate tonight on DK. Is Alex Petrangelo just keeps doing it. I don't know if he's going to do it again, but I think he kind of fits in. He's not quite in the Mikhail Makar range for me, but I think he's fine here tonight. But I think it's Zub that I like best on the blue line.
Yep, I agree. Let's move on to the next one, New York Rangers. My New York Rangers, 3.3 total heading into Anaheim. Short drive from Los Angeles, although it probably took 3.5 hours on the 5. Ducks have a 2.7 total, probably Halak, probably Gibson. You want to go to that Ducks top line without Igor? I guess that's fine. They're getting about 4% ownership. Terry's been shooting the puck buns. Jegers has been shooting more. For me, I like the Rangers side here. Ducks are a mess defensively. Their penalty kill's awful. Rangers have an elite power play. Back-to-back on the road doesn't bother me here. Like, it does a little bit. It's a 15-game slate. They're back-to-back on the road, but a power play reliant team against a very bad penalty kill is a recipe for me having them in their lineup.
Yeah. Anaheim has been using the top line more against opposing top lines of late. That's not something they did earlier in the season, but they've done it in their last couple home games. So I'm assuming we see Henrik Zegras and Terry out against Kreider, Zibanejad, and VC. Those two lines have actually been pretty good defensively this year, like each of the top lines for these two teams. It's just once you get past that Anaheim top line, it is a catastrophe. 150 minutes together for Ryan Strome and Frank Vetrano. 3.7 expected goals against per 60 minutes. Panarin and Trocheck haven't been elite offensively or anything like that so far this season, but they've been pretty good. Anaheim has an awful penalty kill. Anaheim also, you know, a little bit above average in time shorthanded per game. It's Panarin and Trocheck that I like most here. I think you're fine throwing Chris Kreider to make it a power play stack, throwing Zibanejad, something like that. Panarin and Trocheck is what I like most here. It's either the Rangers top two lines. I think they're all in play. Like, I don't know why they're not coming in with more ownership against arguably the worst defensive team in hockey. Sorry. But Panarin and Trocheck is what I'm focusing on.
Yeah, just to add in on that, like if you're power play stacking the Avs, I guess, like going to the kids line against Max Jones, Mason McTavish, and Brett Leeson is also fine. But yeah, the power play guys is where I'm concentrating. Let's move to the blue line. Adam Fox up to 7K. Like, I just don't know if I want to pay that price on DraftKings. You can. This is a very good power play spot. I'd rather go to Callander Miller or Jacob Trouba. On the Duck side, like Ken Fowler's price hasn't moved, so I think I'm fine with him.
Yeah, Fowler. I think Simone Benoit is playable. The problem is like, I think he's just a worse Artem Zub, like at 2,500. So I think I'd rather just play Zub. Don't mind Fox in this game. That, like I said, that Anaheim penalty kill is atrocious. Maybe he can get there in this one.
Last game of the night, San Jose Sharks, 2.6 total. Heading into Seattle, the Kraken have a 3.3. Kaapo Kähkönen confirmed. Party Marty, Senior, Fiesta, Martin Jones, probable. You want to go back to the Sharks top line? Like, this isn't the best spot to do it. I guess the one thing you would say is it's Marty Jones in net, but he has been great recently. If anything, going back to McCann, Eberle, Beniers.
Yeah, I agree with you on that Eberle and Beniers line. They've been kind of low event, but Eberle's been shooting a lot more of late. And they're going to see that Couture matchup. And that line's been – their defensive numbers have been sliding over the last few games. I wonder if they're not just not as good as they showed in their first few games together. So, Eberle, McCann, and Beniers is the line I like most in Seattle. Nothing for me on the San Jose side. It's just not really a great matchup. Seattle doesn't take a ton of penalties. Their penalty kill's good, not great, but good. You're really relying on just the goaltending letting them down. And what do you know? Party Marty Jones has actually been pretty good for them. So yeah, I agree with you. It's the Eberle line that I like the most in this game.
Real quick on the blue line, Vinny Dunn, 4,100, plays like 9,000 minutes, never leaves the ice. I guess he's fine. Really, he's been playing like 25 plus, and that's fine for 4,100. Mario Ferraro will be the guy for shot blocks.
Yeah, and I'll just add him Adam Larson because he's been playing like 25 minutes a game as well. He can definitely get that block bonus, and he's actually can do something offensively. So I don't mind him in the mid threes either.
Coming up right after us at the top of the hour in 3.5 minutes, No House Advantage Thursday Night Football with Emac and Jeff. And then the No House Advantage Thursday Night NBA at 3:30 with Terry and Gundacker. Who are you liking in net tonight?
On DraftKings, I mean, we'll see who starts for Boston. I prefer Allmark, but I like whoever starts for Boston on DK. I like Ilya Sorokin on DraftKings as well. Over on FanDuel, Jonas Korpisalo and Philip Gustafson are both pretty cheap. So I like them over on FanDuel. And King Carl Vimelka, doesn't matter the site, also like him as well.
I will add Connor Hellebuyck, 7,300 against the Wild, I am interested in as well. Who are you liking for the old hat trick?
My client, Brock Nelson.
I am going with my guy for the heart, Jason Robertson.
All right. I like it. J-Rob, yep. Let's do it, buddy.
So for some Cliffy, I'm your host, Josh Harris. I'll be back. We'll be back, I'm sorry, on Friday. I'll be in California, but I'm not missing any shows because I love you guys. Good luck, everybody, tonight, and have a happy Thanksgiving for all of our followers. And good luck, everybody.